Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. Well, you know, there's a whole genre of Florida Gothic, which is, I guess, you know, exemplified by people like Carl Hiaasen and James Hall, and even earlier on, a guy named John D. MacDonald, who had a detective character that ran through all his novels named Travis McGee. But these are crime novels, but they're so lurid and colorful that they're really satirical. They kind of parody Florida with all its weird, wacky wonderfulness. So my guest today is a guy who's very successful in the Florida Gothic crime novel genre. His name is Tim Dorsey. He's here with us from Tampa, and he's doing a book tour. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you, Court, for having me.
So he's a very prolific writer, as some of these people are, and you know, they crank him out. He does about a book a year, I think. Is that about right, Tim?
That's right.
Does your publisher dictate a schedule to you, or you just crank
that's,
that way?
Never... That's pretty much a good rhythm. The readers expect the book, you know, the same time every year, so... We're up to number 13, Electric Barracuda, and yeah, I started in 99, and now the new one just came out.
Wow. So I've got a copy of it here in my hot little hands, Electric Barracuda by Tim Dorsey, and it's hard to describe the cover. If it were TV, you'd have to readjust the color balance on your set, because it's a very lurid orange-pink, kind of hot pink-orange color, if you can picture what that is, sort of, you know, a salmon on acid, maybe, or something.
Yeah, anyway. Something from a Grateful Dead poster or something.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, but that, it captures the wild, lurid content of the books. And so Tim's main kind of long-running character is a guy named Serge A. Storms, who is a serial killer, but kind of a likable fellow. I guess the A, it kind of amused me, is he trying for some degree of prestige and class with the middle initial.
I just came
threw it in.
Yeah, I didn't want to take any more time with that sentence.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Serge is a serial killer, but he's not, in some respect, he's kind of interesting and likable. He's got a great sense of humor. He's sort of intellectual in a non-pretentious way, right? But, you know, these novels are so fast-paced and kind of violent, usually, and bizarre, but they're very real. I mean, the dialogue in them is amazingly, you know, consistent and very realistic. And so, you know, we'll talk later about how you channel a guy like that, because I don't think you're at all like him. But anyway, Electric Barracuda, the scenes kind of slide together in a very snappy, quick, fast-paced way. So why don't you just describe the plot in general, Tim, of Electric Barracuda?
Well, my character, and, you know, as you said, he's a serial killer, but part of the reason why, you know, he can be an effective anti-hero is that, you know, he only kills the people that you want to see, you know, that need killing, you know, the jerks.
Oh.
And the people who are just making Florida deteriorate. And so, yeah, he's criminally insane. I mean, he's really, really intelligent, but he's got so many hyphenated disorders, you know, manic depressive, obsessive compulsive. He's just a very intense, hyperactive person, and in addition to being criminally insane, another one of his insanities is he's just really intense and obsessive about Florida history and culture. I mean, he's just a one-man walking encyclopedia about Florida, and he's just upset with the way that the state's deteriorating, as I said. So in this book, well, you know, he's been, and like I said, because of his intelligence, he's been able to, you know, kind of slip the noose enough times. But, you know, eventually, you know, you can't keep going forever. And so in this book, it's like, well, is he going to get caught or not? So it's kind of a chase movie of a book. And he ends up being pursued by some law enforcement that are closing in. And at the same time, he's blogging because he wants to share his passion for Florida with people. So that's how they're able to follow him.
Yeah, he kind of leaves a trail, a paper trail on the internet. Huh?
Exactly. And so... So he's.
Well, I thought you said he was smart, but anyway, maybe he's just very, very lucky.
Well, he's, like I said, he's intense.
Okay, so, right.
So he's traveling along and he's blogging, and one of the conceits of the book is he says the best way to see Florida is as a fugitive, and so because he says, you know, you want to get off the tourist grid and you know the places that the Chamber of Commerce wants to send you, and he said the best, you know, tour guide you can have is a fugitive because they always find the most remote out of the way places. So he's giving all these people tips on, you know, all these places he's visiting throughout the book. And it what it does is it kind of geographically starts building toward a climax because they're heading straight down into the, you know, deepest, furthest extent of the Everglades. So we're running out of dry land.
Yeah, so he's getting to a cul-de-sac where he's got himself painted into a corner back there with his blog.
Yeah, and of course, and pages are running out in the book also. So,
oh,
so you know it's coming.
You've got yourself painted into a corner too.
Yeah, so the Everglades are, you know, the big thing at the end, where, you know, you find out what happens with this chase and his so-called fugitive tour.
So where does he end up, you know, without giving away the plot itself and the kind of the climax of the book and how they, I don't know if they capture him or not. I haven't finished the book, but anyway, but where does he end up in the Everglades? Is it in the middle of the Sawgrass Swamp or is it down some road or what?
There's a few places. There's Everglades City and then there's Chokoloskee, which mm-hmm. is below that. Mm-hmm. And then he's, there's some, you know, car chasing down the Tamiami Trail. And there's an actual real location, but it's very difficult to access. It's, as a matter of fact, the road's probably only passable a month or two a year during the height of the dry season. But it goes south. It's called the Loop Road. It goes south off of the Tamiami Trail for, you know, around 25 miles. And it is the mother of all unmaintained roads. I mean, to say that is you know.
Even that's a generous compliment.
Yeah, it's like, it's not just a washboard road. I mean, each ripple is like this giant speed bump, and they have to fill.
Even the moguls have moguls or something.
Exactly. And I asked the park rangers, and I kept calling it, you know, when's it passable? Because they go out with, like, marl. And
yeah, they've got swamp buggies
gaps.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's passable to them. They're flying over it.
Yeah, so I took my Cadillac out there and I wrecked the alignment.
Come on, did you really?
Yeah.
No.
And I did that. My Cadillac's probably more popular than I am. I show up at book signings and people go and take pictures of the car because it's.
What color is it?
Well, this one's gray. It's an old 96 DeVille, but the Cadillac's famous because it's in the book, you know, jacket photos, and I put all the stuff all over the car that I take with me.
So what does he find down the Loop Road? I gather he doesn't get to loop back onto the Tamiami Trail successfully.
I can't. That would give away.
You can't divulge this information.
Yeah.
All right.
No, he finds out some history, and he runs into some local folk hero, and he finds out some stuff about Al Capone, which is some true history. I won't give it away, but as they're going toward the Everglades, there's flashback chapters that show what was happening with Al Capone down in the Everglades, and some members of Surge's ancestors, his grandfather and stuff, and you know, there was, you know, some moonshining out there in the Everglades, which is true. A lot of things I found out. So there's flashback stuff leading up, which is the true history part, which is what I love about these books, is I get to do a lot of stuff people aren't familiar with, and that I'm not necessarily familiar with until I really, you know, delve into it.
Sure. Well, that's how you collect the ideas for your next story. In fact, I'll give you one right here in the Melbourne area. There's a story. There's a house on the near Crane Creek, for those who are in the Melbourne area, that's up on a bluff. It's on a high point, maybe the highest point on the Indian River on the west bank. A very nice home that was built in the 20s, I think. And the story is, and I think it's true, I've been down in this place. There's a basement in the house. It's high enough up that it is that unusual thing, a home in Florida with a basement, right? And in the basement, there's a very large pool table. And when you walk through the small doorway and the stairway down into the basement, you find yourself wondering how the heck they got the pool table in there. Well, they didn't actually. They dug the basement first, put the pool table in, and built the house around it. And it was done because the owner of the house at the time, I think, was a rum runner and was friends with Al Capone and knew that Al Capone was going to come visit and hang out with him sometimes. And he knew that Capone liked to shoot pool. And so they built the pool table down in the basement for Capone to shoot pool on. And the pool table is still there today, and I've seen it. So that's the legend. The pool table is there. I've seen that part. Whether the story around it is totally true, I can't vouch for that with personal experience, but that's the story. So, Electric Barracuda. I can read some other titles of Tim's books. Gator A-Go-Go, Nuclear Jellyfish, Atomic Lobster, Hurricane Punch, Orange Crush, Cadillac Beach. So you kind of get the pattern of it, if you will, that there are two words, most of them. An adjective and a noun, and often with a pun. So it's kind of like Carl Hyacinth's stuff, tourist season and downhill lie and things like that. So, you know, so they're all in that same sleazy genre. they all swim in the same shark-infested pool.
I'll take it.
Sure. You're listening to American Variety Radio, and I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with author Tim Dorsey, who's a Florida crime novelist, particularly in the genre called Florida Gothic. And that's just lurid, crazy, wacky tales about crazy characters running around Florida. And they all have, you know, they're kind of embedded in Florida, and a lot of them in the old Florida, and in a longing for the old Florida and the way it was, and a resentment for the tacky, parking lot-ridden, condo-strewn landscape that it's become. So I think Tim kind of relates to that. And you're on a tour with your Electric Barracuda book, your newest one. Cranks out one a year. So where's your tour taking you?
I really carpet bomb Florida. I mean, because all the markets are good and they're all lined up. I mean, all along the coast, and you know, and then I dip into Orlando. But I've got about 70 stops on the whole tour.
Wow, yeah. 70 all in Florida or elsewhere?
No. I end up. I try to push off the north as much as possible, but
especially now.
Yeah, well, because these books, you know, I mean, they're designed to come out, you know, when you know you got the tourist season in Florida and the snowbirds and everything, but then that means after I finish Florida, my final two stops are Milwaukee and then Madison, Wisconsin at the university.
Well, Madison should be good. I don't know about Milwaukee. I guess they have good beer, but that's a
big, yeah. I've been there before. There's a couple of nice independent stores, and it's very interesting seeing how Florida books are received in a much different climate.
Is it like a little subgenre of people with more than the average amount of tattoos and so on that buy your books up there?
it's fast. Wisconsin is totally different from Florida. They're polite.
I mean, oh, really?
They're very nice people up there.
Wait a minute. I thought we were having a polite conversation.
Yeah, we are.
but it's unusual. So anyway, what are the people like who are into Tim Dorsey up there? If there's a stereotype.
Well, a lot like the ones down here. And actually, it's just more or less, even though this material is pretty demented, it's trash, let's admit it. But people,
it's good trash.
Yeah, it is.
Popular trash.
It's you know, yeah, it's like a dessert you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But
guilty pleasure. Huh?
Yeah, but then they just, it's. You can't account for a sense of humor. Either you have a similar one to somebody else or you don't.
Right.
And, you know, some people like Monty Python. Some people, you know, like, you know, Bill Maher or whatever. Some like both. And it's just if I strike a chord with them. Because, you know, laughter is involuntary. You know, it's like you can't, you know, pretend that you find something funny and vice versa.
Well, you can, but it doesn't come across well.
I know. I get a lot of people who essentially, though, say, if somebody had described what you write, I would say, you know, there's no way I would laugh at that.
Yeah.
In other words, they say, you have me, the people that I get say that you have me laughing at something that I never thought I'd laugh at. The rest of the people just write hate mail and say that you're a vile person.
And those are the people who are motivated enough to even write to you.
Yeah.
They must be involved in it in some way. So, well, let's, you know, since we're talking about the book, let's quit talking about it in third person and have you read something in first person from it. So here's a little bit from Electric Barracuda.
Okay.
You can tell us what it is you're about to plunge into here.
Well, this is my main character, Serge Storms, and he has some guy, and I won't. He's got some guy tied up that he's about to kill, and of course, the guy deserves it because there's a big setup as far as you know, and he's basically doing society a favor.
Okay, so let me just stop for a second. These are not when you say he kills only people who you want to die, who are bad people that you don't mind seeing him kill. You're not talking about conservative judges or politicians who always vote in favor of pulling the funding on green projects and things like that. Are you talking about sleazebag type people or unlikable pillars of the community?
No, you're talking about criminals. You're talking about people who are either child molesters or sometimes exploiters of the elderly. You know, they'll run scams and take people's life savings when they're 80 years old. Or, you know, things like that.
And, so garden variety sleazebags.
Yeah, it's the stuff that we have an overabundance of in Florida.
Yeah, we sure do, yeah.
So,
go ahead.
But he's, you know, of course he's off his meds, and so he's
off his meds.
Yes.
So now he's become what he really is,
yeah,
which is psychotic.
I can't help him. He does what he does, and so I just report it.
All right, we won't blame you for him.
And so what he does is he's written his rap song. And he says just before he kills the guy, he goes, "Listen, I need your opinion on this. You know, don't feel compelled to flatter me because of the situation.
Just because I'm going to kill you in a minute and a half.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to skip the choruses, but here, anyway, and I don't rap, so we'll see if we can do this. I'm Captain Florida, the state history pimp, gathering more data than a DEA blimp. West Palm, Tampa Bay, Miami-Dade, cruising the coast till Johnny Vegas gets laid. Developer hoes and the politician bitches, smacking them down while I'm taking lots of pictures. Hurricane sinkholes, natural disaster. Excuse me while I kick back with my view master. Ain't never been caught slipping nooses down the keys. Got more buoyancy than Leon Gonzalez. Knocking off the parasites and taking all their moolah. Recruiting my apostles for the Church of Don Shula. I'm an old school gangster with my psycho ex-wife Molly. Packing Glocks, a shotgun, and my 7-Eleven coffee. Tripping the theme parks, the malls, the timeshares. Busting my rhymes through all the red tide scares. Think you've seen it all? I beg to differ. Mosquitoes like bats and a peg leg stripper. The scammers, the schemers, the real estate liars, birthday party clowns and a meth lab fire. But dig us, don't diss us, pay a visit, don't be late. And statistics always lie, so ignore the murder rate. Beaches, palm trees, and golfing is our curse. Our residents won't bite, but a few will shoot first. Everglades orange grows, alligators buffet, Scarface Hemingway and Andrew Jackson to suck it. Solar cane, Rogaine, eight balls of cocaine, see the Hall of Fame for the criminally insane. Artifacts, folklore, roadside attractions, crackers, Haitians, Cuban exile factions. The early bird specials, driving like molasses, condo meeting, fist fights, and cataract glasses. Can't stop, turn pike, keep riding like the wind. Gotta make a detour for my souvenir pin. But if you like to litter, you're just liable to get hurt. Do you like the MAC-10 under my tropical shirt? I just keep meeting jerks, I'm a human land filler, but it's totally unfair this term serial killer. The police never rest, always breaking my pad, but sunshine is my bling and I'm hanging like a Chad.
Well, I don't think you could make it as a rap singer, but you could make it possibly as a rap writer if you hook up with the right guy. But so you said Serge has Serge is smart, and we see he's talented as well. He was just about to kill somebody when he was trying out his rap song on him. So, you know, the whole book is kind of like that. It's really clever. It's really fast-paced. And this stuff must just come pouring out of your head. I mean, does it flow or do you agonize? I don't picture you sitting writing a page a day and tearing them up and throwing them in the wastebasket and starting over again on this stuff. Does it just kind of roll out of you?
Yeah, that's where I just have fun. I think that was the breakthrough when I was trying to get started doing this writing. I had a lot of false starts, and basically I was trying to overwrite. I was pushing too hard. I was agonizing, like you say. And then I just stopped and I said, well, you know, I mean, it's your dream, but the odds are, you know, practically, you know, speaking, you won't get published. And so do you love writing? You know, would you do it just for the craft? And I said, yeah, you know. And so I said, just enjoy yourself. Have fun writing. And that was my first book, and that was when I finally stopped trying to really, you know, write for publication. And I just wrote for myself. And once I did that, I wrote the first book in 2 months and I had it. And then when I was done with it, I said, you know, this is it. But by the time I got finished with it, I surprised myself.
Well, did you tap into something that you really didn't know was there inside you? Or was it kind of the way you sort of thought anyway and part of your mind and were always shooting the bull with friends in this kind of vein? Or, you know, was it a total surprise to you, or was it sort of an extension of something you already had?
No, I mean, as far as coming up with the novel, you know, finishing the book and having that product.
No, I mean, this kind of groove of writing this kind of thing.
Oh, no, I've done this since I was a kid. I mean, okay. I've had humor columns in newspapers, my college paper.
Okay.
And so I've been writing that sort of stuff. But as far as doing a book, doing something with a plot and having one, you know, thread that goes through and a linear project of this length.
Yeah. Requiring some discipline.
yeah. And I mean, I've done a lot of writing, but having something hang together at the duration of a novel, you know, that's why I just kept, I was, you know, I thought, you know, novels was way, way above, you know, writing humor columns for newspapers. And so, but I just settled in and I just wrote like I used to, except I did it with these fictionalized characters running around Florida.
Well, that obviously works. And you hit a vein in yourself that started spewing, and it's, been a number of years now, right? And you've been doing this for, this is your 13th book, you said. You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We are talking with Florida crime novelist Tim Dorsey, who is a prolific writer of lurid, loud, steamy novels centering around the life and adventures and the evil times of a guy named Serge Storms, who is a serial killer who, I gather, kills only bad guys, the people you would really like to see taken off the streets anyway. And he's always staying one step ahead of the law. And this novel is, again, another story of his amazing and improbable escapes and getaways from SWAT teams and police all over the state who are after him. Serge reminds me, actually, of the sleazy detective in the movie from a number of years ago now, Something About Mary. Did you see that movie, Tim?
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, gosh, you'd enjoy that.
And I should. It's a Florida movie, I think. It wasn't filmed.
Well, yeah, that was down in Miami. It was in Miami. Yeah, you should see that. Something About Mary. So, but anyway, Serge is such a bizarre guy. He's unique. You know, he's not like anybody I've ever met. And, you know, I've been around a little bit. But is he a combination of characters you've encountered or read about? Or how did he?
You say you've never met somebody like that?
I don't think so. I guess I lead somewhat of a sheltered life.
Well, now you have.
Oh, come on.
No, ask anybody that knows me before I wrote the books.
I've got a gun in my briefcase, Tim.
Thank you. Can I have it?
Yeah. Anyway, so...
everybody, all my friends...
How did you know about Serge? I mean, is he... All your friends are like this? Come on.
No, they're not. All my friends say, when they read the books, that's me. They said, we know who Serge is.
So you're Serge totally off the leash.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just
I mean, Serge is you totally off the leash.
And, I just keep it repressed, and I have impulse control.
Wow.
That's why it's so easy. I mean, because I just cut loose with his rants and his behavior and stuff.
So lucky you. You're a serial killer who's found a socially redeeming and also presumably profitable outlet for,
well,
your urges.
I think about doing these things to people, but I don't do it. And so one of the people actually at one of the book signings said, so basically what you're saying is you write so others may live.
Yeah. So. Okay. So you're kind of like an actor in that way, I guess. You kind of get It lets you get your juice out. So, I know that you were a police reporter at one time, right? So I was presuming that you ran into this kind of characters there and that you kind of got immersed in a sleazy world. I mean, a while ago, we had, as a guest on American Variety, an author from Palm Beach named Jonathan King. I don't know, do you know him at all?
Yes, very well.
Okay, yeah. So he was a police reporter as well. We were talking about his book, The Sticks, and he has that kind of background. And he was saying, you know, that he got his inspirations. And now he doesn't do this kind of thing. It's not this lurid, loud, comedic, crazy stuff. It's more historical type novels and things, but a mixture of things. Very Florida-based, but there are characters in them, in some of his novels that are not so historical, that derive from his experiences as a police beat reporter. So you must pick up some, I mean, you know, apart from just the idea of being a journalist and knowing how to write, you must pick up some background from that experience.
Oh, vast amount. Like a lot of the criminals that he comes across, the ones that I, you know, had covered trials of and stuff like that. So, you know, the ones that sparked my sense of outrage. So I kind of pull back, you know, from my memory and then have them cross paths with Serge. And
so you remember the guy who got off on a technicality and
this, yeah,
and
this
you
and
bring
that,
him back and have him executed summarily as he deserved at the time.
Okay.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
But it's funny.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, people should buy your books. I mean, there's a dozen of them, and you go to his website is timdorsey.com. It couldn't be simpler, TIMDORSEY.com. And all the books are there. I guess, can they buy them through your website?
No, they can't buy the books through my website because I'm an agent of the publisher. So
yeah, that's right. He's a serious guy, so he's you know, on a book tour, and I mean, we'll talk about it at the end, but Barnes & Noble and all Amazon, everything, basically every bookstore.
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, boards, all your independents, like the Vero Beach Book Center, things like that. But yeah, they're available everywhere. They're even available in other languages overseas. So.
Really? In other languages?
Yeah.
I don't know how they translate some of this stuff.
I don't either, but the check clears. So,
it would be interesting to see it reverse translated back into English and see what they had come up with, wouldn't it?
Yeah, get somebody to do that.
Or get some German guy to read the German version. You'd go, what the heck? He would never say that. Anyway, are you a Florida native?
No. I came here when I was an infant.
Oh, God. What an admission to have to make. An infant. Well, almost. But yeah.
I don't remember anything.
Between native and almost, you know.
Don't remember anything before Florida, you know. But yeah. I always say that because, you know, some people get their panties in a wad about being native.
And yeah.
How many books have they written?
That's right. I'm a third generation Miamian, and the books that I've written have nothing, they're not fiction. They're boring technical type books. But so where did you come to live in Florida when you were a wee little crier?
It was Riviera Beach, which is just on the north side of West Palm Beach.
All right. So where were you a police reporter?
I started actually in Montgomery, Alabama, and then I covered general assignment and various things, which included covering crime and courts for the Tampa Tribune.
For the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah.
Okay. So you saw most of your Florida sleazy type characters in Tampa area then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
When did you start writing full time?
Well, the first book came out in 1999, and actually the day that it went on sale was my last day. I'd give my notice at the Tampa Tribune.
So you really have done one a year.
Yes.
Almost like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that it came out was the day you fired yourself from being a reporter.
Yeah, literally the on sale day was one day overlap. The day it went on sale, I had to work that day. It was the last day of my work week. And I remember that night carrying my cardboard box of personal possessions from my desk out to my car and just like, freedom.
Had you kept this other life secret?
Yeah, I had actually. The cat got out of the bag though when the publisher sent the catalog of the fall, you know, releases to the book editor.
Oh, my
Tampa
gosh.
Tribune.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they flipped it open and saw me in there. And
you said different Tim Dorsey.
So I had to admit it. And I said, yeah.
So have you met some of the other, you know, I guess I could call them iconic Florida Gothic writers like Randy Wayne White and Carl Hiaasen? Do you hang out with these guys or you see them at book conventions or if there is such a thing? Or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've met Carl Hiaasen a number of times. He was one of my big idols. And I hang out more with like Randy Wayne White, and he's just a great friend. He's a liar, But, you know, he tells stories about me.
He told me you're a good writer, so I see what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. No, he always talks about me at book signings and tells stuff. Yeah. But no, he and I are friends.
So do you, when you're with somebody like that, do you swap story ideas, or do you talk about the business at all, or do you talk totally about tarpon fishing?
Anything but, yes. Yeah. Anything but. We talk about everything else.
How good a beer this is, or whatever it is.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, Carl and I talk about fishing in the Keys. Randy and I talk about, you know, whatever. I
mean, bat fishing in the rainforest.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's one of his titles. Are you glad you're not a newspaperman now?
I really love being in journalism. It was a blast.
But you probably wouldn't be in journalism anymore because about 90% of the people have been laid off since you were there.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, I'm glad, you know, I mean, I was lucky. I just was lucky timing-wise.
Yeah.
This worked out.
Right time, right place to jump into a totally wild thing. So you become kind of mainstream famous now. I think that there's something in the KSC, Kennedy Space Center Visitors Complex about you. Are you lionized somewhere?
Did you see that? Or
I heard about
mentioned
it
the other night.
No, I heard about it. I can tell you about it. It'll be news to you.
No, I just saw it for the first time. I brought my kids to over the Christmas break. But
yeah, okay.
It was about 6 or 7 years ago. There was one part of the Space Center that people really don't go to much, and it's the very early part. It's
why they put you there.
Mercury and Gemini, right? Mercury and Gemini program, and there's the blockhouse and the complex where Alan Shepard was launched. And I had put it in my first book, and I had Serge visit and talk about the whole history and what a great place it was. So they emailed me and asked if I could send an autographed photo, and then it's in a locked glass case. I'm there with Alan Shepard.
Thank God it's locked.
And they're with Alan Shepard, Walter Cronkite, and Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, that's good company.
Yeah.
So you are famous. So what's up next, Tim? What's your next book? Do you have it already in mind?
I actually have it already into the publisher.
Oh, whoa.
You need to stay a year ahead. So, yeah, before I go on tour for one, I have the next one. But the next one, it's set in Miami, and Serge decides to become a spy.
Hmm.
And this is, he's just off his rocker. You know, he just decides he wants to do stuff. He's like a kid with his excitement. So, you know, and his pal says, well, who's going to hire you? How do you, and he goes, who says anybody has to hire you? You can just, like, decide you're going to be a spy and just go around acting suspicious.
Julian Assange does it.
Yeah. So he goes down there, and of course, I get into the whole spy history of Miami and all the things that had gone on, and he goes around and just starts acting suspicious, and different people, you know, pick him up on their radar, and they think he's working for somebody else, and he gets all tangled up.
All right, do you have a name for it?
It's called Pineapple Grenade.
All right, we're looking forward to Pineapple Grenade blowing up at our bookstore. Well, timdorsey.com, go there, look at his books, then go to your nearest bookstore and buy one, or amazon.com has them. You can also get something called Florida Roadkill, which is a survival guide, a travel companion to the novels. And without asking you the question, since we're almost out of time here, Tim, I think it's like a photo book of all the crazy roadside attraction type landmarks in Florida, right?
Yeah, it's actually all the locations from the novels.
Oh, okay.
And that I do sell on my website.
Wow, okay. So actual locations from the novels.
Right, you can actually take road trips to follow the it gives the addresses and everything, so you can like live the novels if you so inspired.
If you want to get really deep into this stuff, you can really just, you know, see it multidimensionally and all of that good stuff. Well, Tim Dorsey, thanks so much for being on with us in American Variety. It always goes so fast.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you will tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.